Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got some crazy stuff going on. I have a great guest tonight. Before I bring Eric on, I want to talk about just a few things in the news. And people are asking about this. Senator, I think it was Schumann, he's talking about seven ways to make a person disappear, you know. So, kind of warning Trump that, don't mess with the CIA because they can make you disappear in seven different ways. This is on national TV, you know, and all these actors are threatening Trump and saying, I'll pay anybody if you can put a hit on Trump and things like that. I mean, in the old days, these people would have a knock on their door immediately and they'd probably be behind bars. And I mean, there's got to be some kind of an ethics thing going on here, too, because all these senators are standing up. But what I'm seeing is that the people that are standing up and screaming the loudest are the ones that are very afraid of their shenanigans being made public or being dealt with by Trump. So you'll watch the senators that are jumping up and screaming, and the other representatives that are screaming the most have the most to hide. And they're very afraid because, their career and maybe their life might come to an end because of some of the heinous things they've done, especially with this pedophile mess. But anyway, just, pay attention to it. This Russian hacker thing is just a big psyops thing. It's there to divert everybody, and they're trying to create a national emergency. So, again, they can keep Obama in there. So just keep an eye on this. Basically, the grid is not online. You can't hack the grid. The grid is a separate entity. When they keep saying the grid is hacked, it can't be hacked. And they also said the Russians were involved in the tampering with the elections. Well, guess what? They're offline too. They're not online. You can't hack the elections. Come on. So people need to get educated on what hacking means. Yeah, there were definitely leaks, from insiders, disgruntled people within the DNC, just tired of the corruption, and other people in certain agencies were just tired of the corruption, and they were doing the leaks. And there weren't any hacks. It was done by DHS, the Homeland Security. They got caught, trying to hack in. So anyway, basically, the machines are offline, and the grid is offline, so you can't hack the grid, So this is just all a bunch of pomp and circumstance. It's, warmongers, waving their flags, and the ones that are the loudest are the ones we really have to keep an eye on, and they're probably the ones that are going to be going down, So another thing, Trump avoiding the CIA briefings, and I go, the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that were never there, the nerve gas that was supposed to be used by, Assad and these other guys that turned out it was done by the rebels who we actually finance. And now the leaks are showing that, the present administration and Hillary were very involved in financing ISIS, So, I mean, we got to wake up and smell the coffee here. It's all coming up. And so we need to stop, take a deep breath, and realize that maybe everything isn't as you think it is. Maybe the mainstream news media hasn't been telling you the truth for quite some time. And maybe it's time to go within and start thinking differently about, where you get your sources from. Because obviously, the fake news is really coming from the mainstream media. We call it the lamestream media, which is actually owned by just a few men, that are part of the Illuminati. So, I mean, I don't want to go into all that. And I wish I didn't have to talk about this, but we really need to pay attention to what's going on. There's a massive wave shaking the planet right now. And we've talked about this. We gave you a heads up quite early about this wave coming in. And the planet is shaking. It's showing up on the Richter scales. This wave, it's cosmic waves and the whole gamut, the whole spectrum is actually hitting the planet. And it's creating a lot of turmoil. It's shoving everything right up to the surface. And we talked about this wave. We're in it till about January 11th, and then it'll start lightening up a little bit, and we can then assimilate the energies after that. But whenever you, add a huge amount of energy to a system, you get chaos. Symantecs has shown us that. When they raise the frequency, everything goes into chaos, and then it finds a pattern again and goes into harmony. So basically that's what we're doing. We're having a huge flux of energy. The apocalypse, the great uncovering is everything is being uncovered, you know, and we're in those times, you know, so just, you know, pay attention and just forget about whatever's coming out of the politicians and the lamestream media right now, because they're doing all they can to create chaos and create a distraction because they've got a lot to hide, you know, so basically that's what's going down. So when you see the people creating, you know, they're screaming about, you know, this and this and this and this and Russia, this and Russia, that, the ones that are screaming the loudest, you watch what comes up for them because they are scared. And this is the only way they can divert the attention off of their own wrongdoings. But I'm sure we'll be covering that later. But I really wanted to talk about this this wave coming in. And it's a major shift. You know, it's like it's been prophesized that we gave a heads up weeks and weeks before. It hit, and now that it's here, and I think there's other waves coming behind this. I think it's a series of waves, and we've given people heads up each time one of these major waves comes through and creates, you know, this massive shift. So that being said, I want to welcome my guest tonight, Erica Lukes, and her passion for the subject of unidentified flying objects dates back to her early childhood. After a series of personal UFO sightings in 2013, she felt compelled to find out what was taking place in her home state of Utah and joined MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. And with natural skills in the field of ufology, Erica quickly went from being a MUFON field investigator to the Utah State Director for MUFON and continued to grow with that organization. And she was the lead investigator on the American Airlines 434 pilot reporting UFO case over NEFI, Utah on, might be NEFI, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, on January 14th, 2016. The case was on MUFON's top 10 cases of the year and received international attention because of the gravity of radar and audio data obtained from the FAA. And today she serves as the communications director for the International Association of UAP Researchers. I guess that's Utah. Wait a second. She's head of the Unexplained Utah. There we go. An organization which focused upon scientifically researching, otherwise known as Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon. She hosts her own radio shows on Friday nights called UFO Classified. So welcome, Erica, to the show.
Yeah, it's so nice to talk to you again. It seems like it's been forever since I think the last time I saw you was at Contact in the Desert.
Yeah, it was. So what's the P? I mean, it's on my paper here, it says UAP, and I figured it's unidentified, an aerial phenomenon. That's what it is.
Yeah. So
it didn't show me what the P was for.
Oh, that's so rude. I'm telling you.
No, that's all
right. So I have my group in Utah that basically kind of took over for Utah MUFON here. And then I'm the communications director for the International Association of UAP Research, which is a new organization that was just started by our executive director, Ted Rowe, who was the executive director of NARCAP. And this is really, will be a great attempt to create some sort of cohesion between academia and the scientific community to get them actively engaged in this subject, which they should be, because this is important.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of interesting because, to me, I try to bridge all of it. I like the scientific end. I mean, we use a lot of scientific equipment here to validate, you know, actually the spiritual aspect of it or the higher dimensional aspect of it. And it's pretty undeniable, you know, the footage we have of orbs and light beings and ships and everything else is pretty undeniable. And a lot of it is by using technology, by using infrared spotlights along with infrared, you know, goggles, and I just got a phosphorus third generation scope for my camera, which is amazing.
I'm getting cool.
Yeah, some great footage with that as well. But it's nice that science is starting to step in and fill the gap and hopefully, you know, these guys will start bringing this equipment to the table, you know, with your group too, and start, you know, filming what a lot of the enlightened people have been talking about for some time.
You know, absolutely. And I think, you know, for me, having had my own personal experiences and, you know, I mean, I'm not a scientist. I mean, if you would have asked me 5-10 years ago if I would be up here espousing the benefits or the importance of the scientific method, I think anybody that knows me would have said that would never happen. I mean, I'm an artist, you know, I'm a,
yeah.
I just, that was not in my realm of thought, but now I understand that we have to kind of bridge both of these worlds because they're both important. My personal experiences and the fact that I absolutely understand there is a conscious connection to whatever this is. And there's much more that we need to push the boundaries of this. Science needs to, and the UFO community needs to understand that this isn't a black and white issue. This isn't a tangible thing. It's not, something that we can sit around and wait for the golden nugget to arrive. You know, it's here. And now we have to figure out how we're going to work together to think of new ideas and new approaches and try to work with this and accept that there's something very bizarre and beautiful and frightening taking place.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's funny how a lot of scientists demand physical proof of non-physical events, which is pretty crazy. You know, they want physical proof, but the data is there. You know, when you get a lot of different people having the exact same experience down to detail, I mean, to me, that's the data itself would be the proof. But until they get into the equipment, you know, it's like some of the equipment that we're using here that can actually go into the other dimensions, go into the fourth dimension or the infrared spectrum. You know, it's actually unscientific to demand, you know, physical proof, knowing that they accept, you know, there's a minimum of at least 11 dimensions out there.
Well, and, you know, the thing that always puzzled me is the fact that there were so many, I mean, it's almost like we're stuck in the, you know, 50 years ago with our thinking on this. And there's so many, I guess, curmudgeons in this field that are kind of keeping it from progressing. And, you know, even in when I was involved with MUFON, I mean, I think there are a lot of really wonderful people in MUFON and a lot of people that understand that there's something much more to this. But then there were people that were afraid to find a contact group and to go out there and establish a relationship and to work with them to try to figure out what was going on. I mean, we have to work together, and we have to understand that, you know, the work that you're doing is incredibly important, and it is a bridge for us to be able to research what's taking place.
You know, I agree. I found out, you know, being in this, God, for almost 30 years now, it's been crazy. But you know, just observing what's going on. I was on the Art Bell show once, and Art asked me, he said, what is it with the UFO community? They eat their young, you know, they're very competitive. They're fighting amongst themselves and they just don't know how to behave, you know, or something like this. And I couldn't argue that, you know. I said, well, that's been my experience. It's like, you know, you have the nuts and boltsers who want everything in nuts and bolts, and you have the ones that want to make everything Nazis, you know, or you know,
right,
you know, things like that. And then you have the groups out there that want to make, you know, everything fearful. You know, they're here to, you know, turn you into human pilaf and steal your DNA and everything else. And then they have the ones that, oh, they're all love and they're all good and they're all here to on our behalf, you know. So yep, you have so many different factions. And I've always said, you know, what if it was all going on?
And in all likelihood, I mean, I think that's, we have to accept the fact that we know virtually, really, truly nothing about this, you know, and we have to be critical thinkers. We have to use our intuition. We have to understand that science is limited in a lot of ways. And I think that American science in particular is kind of falling by the wayside, and other countries are taking a much more progressive approach. And we need to, I mean, I definitely feel, and others that I work with feel, that this situation is coming to a climax. There's something that is taking place, and it seems to be more and more prevalent. I think when you look through databases, you look at different people that are having experiences all over the world, these things are becoming much more in your face. And so why is that? And what are we going to do to try to figure this out and to actively engage this and not sit around and twiddle our thumbs for the next 50 years?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I've always felt, you know, there's, you got to factor time travel in there. You got to factor everything in there because, you know, when you start getting accounts and things and different messages and they're saying the same messages, but you have different groups, it's so convoluted in a way. There's just so many different aspects to this. And to think, you know, what I see is, you know, it's like people have one piece of the pie and they want to argue that is the whole pie and that's it. And I always tell people, you can't go at it like that. Everybody needs to put their pie on the table if you're ever going to have a whole pie, and we all need to work together and to figure out, you know, what is going on. And seems like you're kind of going at it in that direction.
I hope so. I mean, it's been a challenge, I will tell you. And you know, because I come at this with my own personal experiences, I have to step back and say, okay, I've got to put my personal experiences over here, and then I have to look at the data and figure out what it's telling me without letting my own personal bias get in the way. And then I also have to kind of negotiate the twists and the turns of ufology, because there's so much, oh my gosh. I mean, it's a really polluted field, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because you get some of these people that are in positions of power or different organizations, and they truly aren't in this for the right reasons, which is helping humanity, which is trying to come together and figure out what this is, like you're saying. And I think that's when there are people that have had profound experiences and they're entering into this, they're trying to find resources, they're trying to find hope, they're trying to find good information. And so how do we now, with a younger generation coming into this field, how do we give that to them? And how do we maybe expose some of the corrupt behavior that has kept this field down for so long?
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is actually planned opposition. I mean, people at the highest levels are planned opposition. And you know, there's somebody doing a major event tonight as we speak, you know, a big global contact thing, and we won't go into it. But, you know, when you're arm in arm with the Rockefellers and the Clintons and bragging about it and you say there's no negative ETs out there and, you know, just open, wide open, anything comes along, to me, that's totally irresponsible. And it shows, you know, that, you know, a lack of credibility there. And I think that's what we need to do is really scrutinize what people do, you know, off the podium. How do they treat the people around them? You know, talk to ask them why their staff left, you know, ask them where the money goes, you know, ask them, you know, the hard questions. We need to ask those hard questions. And especially before donating to some of these things, we need to do some research and just see what we're getting into, because it's not all, you know, what we think it is.
No, it's not. That's the thing that's so, it's been heartbreaking for me, because again, like I said, when I mean, I'm still investigating cases and talking to witnesses from all over. And I mean, these are good human beings that have had experiences that they're trying to come to grips with. And when they reach out to organizations and they're basically dismissed, or worse yet, the person investigating their case goes on national news debunking their case, you know, you just think, oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, seriously, that's not what we need to do. And I think that we have enough data. So what are we going to do with it? We need to be proactive. We need to quit worrying about TV shows, and we need to think about getting some good field research study done. That's where we need to go.
I agree. You know, get the right equipment and the right people out there that understand what's going on, and also be open to things that might be beyond you know, our present understanding or, you know, the laws of physics as we know it, because these things are, you know, I have video of these ships landing on the mountain, morphing into 3-4 ships, going back to one again, flying all around the mountain, and then a jet comes in and they take off, lead the jet away, and then just pop right back on the mountain again. And, you know, I showed this to James Todd at OMSI Planetarium, and there's another, I think his name's Hastings, I can't remember, one of these guys at NASA, you know, they looked at this footage and they said, oh, that's the space shuttle. And, you know, and I'm going, they actually said that on TV, and, you know, people, just because they have this PhD and they work for some big, you know, organization or whatever, they automatically believe these people. But, you know, the critical thinking goes out the door when this thing is landing on the mountain. I said, well, you know, the last time the space station landed here was when, you know, landed on Mount Adams. Like, you guys have a secret base there or a landing pad? You know, it's like, I've been all over that mountain. I haven't seen it, you know, so, you know, but I mean, it's so ridiculous. And I even asked the, I think it was in the NBC, one of the guys NBC that was interviewing him and came up here, and he did an interview up here with what was going on up here. And I said, did you ask him how the space station could land on Mount Adams? And he goes, I didn't think about that. I just went, yeah, I'm going, well, hopefully the audience was smart enough to figure that one out. You know, like, you know, they saw the footage and they showed it. And, you know, the space station can't morph into 3 different objects. And it cannot, you know, it cannot land on Mount Adams. There's nothing there to land on. You know, so it's just so ridiculous. It's gotten so, it's almost like everything now in the news is so ridiculous. I mean, I hated to talk about that stuff, but I needed to in the beginning, because it's like the world is actually in chaos, and it's gone into full blown crazy mode. It seems like, you know,
you're not kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like they're doing all they can to start World War III, and the outgoing guys, you know, and they want to create some kind of a total, you know, mess, you know, so they can declare martial law or something and stay in there. But they're doing their best. I think they know, because if they don't succeed, they're in trouble. I mean, their shenanigans are going to be, they're going to come up and deal with them. So a lot of them are fearing for their lives. You know, like, that's why they're making all these mistakes.
We truly are living in some baffling times. And I think that the biggest lesson that I would like to impart to people, and this is something that I have learned and I try to practice, is that we have to be accountable. We have to be active participants in our communities. We have to ask questions. We have to go the extra mile to get involved. And the same thing should be said with the UFO field. I mean, we need to go the extra mile, especially with regard to this, because this is the most important thing that we will ever have to deal with as human beings. And yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, the critical thinkers that, you know, with the PhDs and everything are not using critical thinking. You know, they're still trying to box it into something that's acceptable to them.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you bring that up, and there was a case we had here, it was like 6 months ago, and we had this beautiful outdoor venue called Red Butte Gardens, and there was the Tears for Fears was doing a concert there, and there was a mass sighting. I mean, almost everyone at that concert saw many different objects going over the concert, including the band, including the stage crew. And I talked to people that were at the event, and they were disturbed. They were frightened. And these are grown men.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know what it was. And it was really interesting because I did a FOIA request to get radar data on this case. And the first time we got the radar data, it was unreadable, but we're going at it again just for fun. But it was interesting because the next day after this sighting, and it had made some media, the media got wind of it, the fellow from the observatory here, who's a really nice, smart man, said that he felt that they were Chinese lanterns. And, you know, I mean, when you listen to the witness accounts, when you get on social media, you hear what people are saying, when you talk to the witnesses, there is no way in this you know, it's just that is not what was happening. And I actually called him up and just kind of just talked to him about it and said, no, you know, I honestly don't think that's what it was. And here's why I think that. But, you know, and I made sure that I called the media that was reporting on this and said, please call me next time so you can at least get two sides to this story, because you're shooting people down when they're having an experience and they're adept enough to know that these aren't Chinese lanterns. Mm-hmm. You know, well, it's interesting.
Well, we've had that happen here with the International UFO Reporting Center. We've had, for some reason, he's made it personal to try to undo everything here. But he can't, because the Native Americans have a long history, you know, of sighting UFOs here. The forest rangers, the tower, you know, operators, the fire tower operators, you know, the police, the regular police. I mean, it's so well documented here over the history. And the problem is that it hasn't stopped. It's still going on. So these people are constantly, you know, I'll have 50, 60 people, up to 300 people in the field watching these ships do all kinds of antics, you know, coming down, powering up, kind of when they power up, you feel an energy pulse come off them, and then they'll make a right angle turn or something like that, or go around the mountain. And obviously these are not meteors or satellites or anything known. And these guys, it's amazing how people call up, you know, and try to report this, and they go, well, tell me when the little green men step out. Or they really belittle them when, you know, when they're trying to make, you know, and these are like school teachers and people in all kinds of professional life, you know, that are, you know, making a report, and they're just really upset, you know, and they're emailing me. And I said, all I can say is just forget about reporting it there, you know, just, you know, start your own research, you know.
That's the thing that is so disturbing. And I mean, I ended up putting a report a UFO form on my website, and I hope people will share information and sightings like that, because it's important, and nobody should ever feel like reporting something that is truly astounding to them is anything that should be made fun of. And even if, you know, somebody is misidentifying a plane or Venus or whatever, we should be empowering people and saying, hey, great, good job for looking up. Maybe, you know, this is what it is. But next time when you're out there in the field, you can use this app and you can do this or that, and make it a fun, empowering situation instead of making somebody feel like an idiot.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I get that a lot, and I try to be tactful. You know, we'll get people to send us lens flares, and you know, obviously they're taking a picture directly into the sun, and so they get these these lens flares and things like that. And we go, well, you know, it's like you might try it shooting away from the sun and see what you get. You know, like you know, we'll probably try to be diplomatic about it, but as much as you can. But especially when, you know, when people have these life-changing experiences, I mean, they actually see a ship, and it, you know, might fly low overhead or do something crazy, or they'll feel an energetic exchange, and, you know, and they really want to talk to somebody about it. You know, it's a major pivot point in their life, and just to get shot down like that, I think that's criminal. I mean, we shouldn't. We should listen to them, you know, write it down, you know, keep put it in the database and see if it happens, you know, more than once, see if there's other corroborating reports.
Right. And that's important. I mean, this is all of this is so unknown, and that nobody is an authority on this. And we have to, I don't know, we need to support everybody. And well, let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
I was, you know, kind of channeling a self-help book that I'd read earlier. But I mean, there are definitely, I think, a majority of the people that are reaching out in this realm are genuine people, and they deserve good education. They deserve to be supported, and you know, unfortunately, they're not getting that. But I hope that will change.
Yeah, a lot of times we'll refer people to certain books. So we'll read this book, and give them, you know, viable places they can do research if they want to get into it. You know, and a lot of people out there, you know, they're buying the night vision and hooking up to their cameras and everything else. So, you know, I think this is all about empowering the individual. and not being the Messiah, you know, or another control authority figure, but, you know, empowering the individual to do their own research, you know, and expanding consciousness, have their own experience. And, but with some tools, you know, some safeguards, because, you know, there's an old saying, you know, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent, you know. So there are some safeguards that people can use and should use. And that is one of my pet peeves is when you go out and you constantly preach that they're all benevolent and they're all good, and there isn't anything negative out there. It's very irresponsible. It can be extremely damaging to some people, especially if you hook into the wrong kind of energies. And we spend a lot of our time here cleaning that up, you know, cleaning those connections up and cleaning those energies up. So, you know, it's just, it makes no sense. It's almost like telling people to wear an American flag and go to Iraq, you know, no worries, you know, no worries. They all love you. No worries, you know, or Iran or something like that. Well, some do love you, but some would probably like to take you out in a very, very nasty way. So, you know, people need to start using common sense, you know, when they look into this field.
And, you know, God bless you for saying that. That is so important because we, you know, I mean, you know this. I think that we're dealing with multiple different things here. I mean, there's an interdimensional aspect. There's probably a terrestrial life form here that we haven't had the capacity to understand. Maybe indigenous people did and do understand that, and they respect it and, you know, put it in the place it needs to be. And then there could be an extraterrestrial component, but you know, we're dealing with multiple things here. And I think that it's, you know, I look, because I live, you know, obviously in Utah, and there's some strange things going on. And you look up by Skinwalker Ranch in the Uinta Basin, and they're not, it can be incredibly negative and incredibly destructive. It can ruin your life. And this isn't a game that you can get into. It's not a fun thing to do on a Saturday night. You have to be prepared, and you have to be on top of things.
Yeah, and I was reading one episode there where this kind of spirit wolf dog type thing, huge wolf dog, came and was attacking the guy's livestock, and he just, you know, I don't know how many rounds of bullets he put in the thing, and just trying to look at him and walked off. You know, it's like, you know, you're talking about something that definitely paranormal, you know, definitely something you shouldn't, probably wouldn't want to piss off, you know, and
probably not. No,
or being in contact with. And I've had people invite me out there. Hey, come on out to Skinwalker Ranch. And I said, hell no.
Yeah.
And they go, why? And I said, because I respect the dark. I respect the other side. I know it. I know it's there. I know it exists. And I have enough on my plate. Then I don't need to go looking for it. You know, I'm already dealing with enough of it right now. I don't need more, you know, to go to go out and put myself right in the middle of it.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. I think that, you know, we always see people that want to go up by Skinwalker Ranch and, you know, just go party and do their thing. And perhaps when I was younger and, you know, when I was looking into the paranormal because I was having so many experiences, I didn't have the respect that I do now because I didn't understand the gravity of the situation or how insidious it can be. In, you know, it's not just something that will, you know, bang on the door. This is something that can get a hold of your life and rip it apart.
Exactly. Yeah, people need to be aware of that. Now, I know you've had a lot of research into, I know you had the flight 434. Can you talk a little bit about that, that sighting?
Okay, you know what? That was, I mean, and this was such a fun case. I was really blessed. I have a friend who is a radio show host, Pat Daniels, who has Fringe Radio Show, and he's an avid ham radio operator, and he just, you know, works late at night, and he was scanning frequencies, I think on his police scanner, and he overheard, this was a little bit after midnight, he overheard a couple transmissions on January 14th of 2016. It was last year. Mm-hmm. And he heard a conversation between the airline pilot or the crew and air route traffic control. And the first conversation, it was, you know, okay, are you seeing this large object? It's keeping pace with the plane, yada, yada. And then it broke off, and then the scanner went through the frequencies, and then he heard another transmission. And we talked the next day, and he said, Erica, in my 20 plus years of listening to frequencies and exchanges between pilots and air route traffic control, I have never heard anything like this. The pilot was alarmed. And so here you go. Mm-hmm. And I took that case and I was with MUFON at the time. I called my assistant state director, Jeff Cox, and we went to the ATC website where you can download some of these transmissions. And we were able to obtain a portion of that conversation, which verified what Pat was saying. And then we had called a really important person in my world, William Puckett, who does radar analysis. And we did a FOIA request for radar data for audio and the tower logs. And when we got it back, it was absolutely staggering. So, and honestly, this is the best radar case that I think mm-hmm. that we have seen in decades. And mm-hmm. it was so cool to not only have that, but then to have the audio conversation, a portion of it. Some of the audio that we received from the FAA was redacted, which mm-hmm. was quite curious. But you've got this great radar data over this remote portion of Nephi, Utah. And then we do some more investigating, and I fully believe that this sighting is something that we need to look at the bigger picture. So you go back through the decades and you see what's taken place in this area. Well, we know that this area is fairly close to Dugway Proving Ground. We have Hill Air Force Base here. We have the NSA here. We have a lot of interesting facilities located in Utah. So could there be a connection with that? I don't know, but there are some connections and repeated sightings that occur in specific areas in the Salt Lake Valley and in the Uinta Basin.
Now, you got the tape of the pilots talking about the UFO. So I'm curious, did you ever get the pilots to actually come forward and talk about it?
No.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't, because, you know, I tell you why, because I know so many pilots, and they said, we will not talk about this. It goes on our record. It goes on our psychological profile. You know, it can affect our pensions, everything. I mean, they can really get hammered by talking about this. And one time I was in a shuttle, because I've been traveling a lot recently, going to conferences and things like that. And I just happened to get on this shuttle with about, you know, there's four or five airline stewardesses and probably four or five, pilots all together. And, you know, I couldn't stand it. And I said, so you guys, how many of you have seen a UFO? And they turned around and looked at me, and you could tell they really wanted to say something so bad. And so one of the guys goes, you know what? He goes, off the record or on the record? And I said, just off the record. I'm just curious, how many of you guys have actually seen a UFO? And three out of four said, well, let's just say we can't talk about it. You know, they you know, read between the lines, basically. You know, we're not going to talk about it.
Amazing. And that's the thing. If you, you know, talk to pilots, and I've had some fascinating conversations with pilots, and most, you know, a majority of them see stuff. You can't have a professional career in the sky and not see something that is anomalous. And like you said, they just don't want to report it for multiple reasons. I had one pilot tell me it's because there was too much paperwork to fill out. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's sad that the FAA doesn't support pilots, and mm-hmm. and they just kind of brush this off. But it is something that deserves to be, they need to be, I feel pilots need to be protected and given a safe environment for them to talk about these events that potentially could threaten the lives of the people on board aircraft.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was flying to LA, and I had a friend of mine took the exact same flight. It was really interesting, and he filmed this beautiful gold ship flying right next to the plane, and they told him ahead of time telepathically they were going to do this. And so he actually got it on camera, a beautiful camera, like a $7,000 camera. And, you know, he got this thing morphing, and it turned into like a pillar, like a golden pillar. And then it turned into an arrowhead, and then it turned into what looks like a hand. I mean, just like a hand, which is the Hebrew symbol for God, you know. And, you know, we all know about the arrowhead, you know, as that's all kinds of signs in the skies. Native Americans talk about legends about the arrowhead in the sky. And these chevron ships and things like that kind of look like an arrowhead. And the pillar, you know, we all know this big light pillar. You know, I'm sure that's, you know, all referenced all through, you know, biblical times and things like that. But, you know, the pillar clouds that were a fire by night, you know, when they crossed the Red Sea, you know, they had a little help crossing the sea there, you know, so it's, you know, it's kind of funny when you see this, and I actually have the footage of it. It's some old footage. It's on VHS. I have to convert it. It was put on VHS, but, I might try to contact this guy, but he got, he was actually from Korea, and he got, you know, basically deported. You know, he was going to school here, going to college here, and after he filmed that, the next thing you know, they basically recalled his visa and he had to go back. But maybe one day he'll send me another copy of that, a really clear copy. But one, I had a really good copy on it on the high definition, and it mysteriously vanished, you know.
Oh, that's just a bummer.
Yeah, and but I still have – I made a whole bunch of copies on and I put it in other – lectures I did back in the 90s. I have the footage in the lectures, so it's gotten out there, you know. But pretty undeniable. But they did it again on another trip when I was going to LA, and I told the stewardess, I said, hey, check this out. I said, what's that? And there's this gold light in the shape of a disc following the plane, you know. And I said, look at this, what's this? And they're looking at it, they go, I don't know, that's not a reflection, you know, it's not a sun dog. They couldn't come up with any I go, look, it's totally matching the speed of the plane. And so we actually got I didn't film it, you know, I just had my cell phone, which is really crappy at the time, and I didn't film it. But it's funny, the stewardess said, hey, can you come to the back, you know? And I said, yeah, sure, you know. And so I went to the back, you know, and they had a little jump seat there, and they said, hey, well, what do you think it is? And they started like, and I told them, you know, I knew what it was. It was some of my friends following the plane. But, you know, we had a big conversation back there about it. It was pretty hilarious. And, you know, they're really curious about it. And they said, we're usually too busy to look out the window, but thank you so much for pointing that out, you know, to us.
Wow.
But, yeah, but it was pretty interesting. But that's going on constantly. And like you're saying, you know, we need to have an avenue where they don't have to, you know, go through all the scrutiny, and it doesn't go on their record, and they aren't, you know, ridiculed, or, you know, there's no consequences for it.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, this is, yeah, it's happening. And I always look at the work of NARCAP. I mean, they've got some brilliant technical reports with regard to aviation reports. And I think that that's good, and I hope that the FAA will hopefully not turn a blind eye for much longer to this. But
yeah, I mean, we've had you know, 200 or 300 people out in the field, and these ships come in treetop level, and they'll power up, and I have this on footage, you know, and the ship just powers up and it whites out the screen of the camera, and then it'll go towards a mountain and make a little turn. And they did it for Paranormal State when they were up here. They did it for, you know, Fox News and a lot of them. Actually, Jay Leno sent a crew up here, but they canned it. You know, I think they're going to try to make a spoof out of it, and then it turned out to be real. And so they canned the episode. They didn't show it, but they were supposed to give me copies of the footage that they got, because they got some, you know, they had the money. They had the technology. They had these huge third, fourth gen, I don't know what they were, giant things on the end of their cameras. And they got these ships coming right at each other and making right angle turns and just doing all kinds of crazy things. But they wouldn't, they promised us that they would share the footage, and we never, all of a sudden they just didn't return any of our phone calls anymore. So, you know, that's Hollywood for you, I guess.
Oh, yeah, seriously. And I, you know, I just want to ask you, because I've been dying to talk to you for so long, but what other researchers have been up there with you? Because I know you've had quite a few.
Oh, yeah. God, just about everybody. You know, we had, you know, Bob Dean's been up here. God, I'm trying to, the list of who's here. You can just name them. I can tell you if they've been up here. All the exopolitics people have been up here. You know, Alfred Weber and Michael Sala's been up here with his wife, Angelica Wycliffe. Hopefully I'm saying her name right. But they saw some amazing things. They got some photograph of this giant pink one coming over, and it morphing into like different, it looks like different dimensions as it phased out. It was really bizarre. But you know, William Henry, Lisa Renee's been up here. Barbara Lamb, trying to think of just about everybody.
So was John Alexander, Colonel Alexander, been up there?
Yeah, he was here. And he actually went on record and said, yeah, it is real. What's happened there is real. And we went out in the field, and he said, so what do you think's going on? I said, they're in the west. They're coming from the west. And a ship came right in from the west, and it stopped and hovered there. And he said, what do you think they're doing? And I said, well, they're scanning us. They're scanning our consciousness to see, you know, how close they're going to come in or how much they want to react with us. And then they just took off after that. But, you know, he saw all kinds of things, you know, even 2 or 3 feet off the ground, these golden orbs flying around and things like that. So it's there's so much going on here. But, you know, he's an interesting guy. You know, he's... you know, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, no, you know what? I have to say that I like the fact that he's so no nonsense. You know, I mean, yeah. it's he just says it like it is, and in his world, and that's yeah. Something. So, but I know that, you know, everyone has different feelings about people and where they're coming from. But that's interesting that exactly. He was up yeah. there. And that says something. You know, because yeah, I know that yeah. You have it. There's a very active location up there. And what are your thoughts as far as, I mean, is this with the things that are occurring low to the ground? Are they the same things that are occurring up in the sky? Well, or do you think it's similar? Yeah, they're related.
It is. When you go into the light spheres, the orbs, we've blown up photographs of these, and some look like ETs, like a face, an ET face in there. Some look like Merlin, you know. Some look like animals, like bears or things like that. They're just beings without bodies, you know. And because we're on a vortex, the veils between worlds are very thin here. So we see a lot of that activity. Now, the ETs can also, and I have pictures of myself doing it, I can actually leave my body as a light sphere and go and check out something with 360-degree vision, you know, and it's been well documented. But they have that ability, too, where they can go out of body, you know, as a light sphere, and they're actually operating on a higher dimension. And they can come and check you out, and depends on your ability to sense or feel or your clairvoyancy on whether you even know they're there. You know, if you're very sensitive, you're going to feel them, you're going to know they're present. If you're not, you won't even know that they're there.
Wow. So how would, you know, I mean, I have listeners for my show. I mean, they want to know how to go out in the field and to photograph or to experience things like this. I mean, how are you taking good photographs?
Well, I'll tell you the best way to do this, and you have to get the right spectrum. And I have a friend of mine, I've got to call him up and get another setup because mine died. But I had an infrared spotlight. And so if you can get a good infrared spotlight, you might have to get a regular spotlight and buy the filters and experiment with them and just put them over it until you get it right. A good infrared spotlight, or you know those illuminators that are on the night vision that yeah. shoot off the red beam? Those illuminate very well. I want to figure out a way to get a whole bank of those out there and light the whole field up, and then we can see everything moving, you know, in the field. And that goes into the fourth dimension in the infrared, and you can see all kinds of things going on. And then you observe it through night vision goggles. And the higher generation you can get, the better. Third gens. We use the third generation military goggles, which are, to me, are the best. But there are some others above that. But you're gonna pay, like this one, we actually got a really good deal on it because of who we are, but we still had to pay about $4,000 to get the third gen white phosphorus one. But, you know, you just have to experiment around with it. But once you get the right gear out here, it's like a whole new universe opens up.
Isn't that incredible? And too, you know, because I've been wanting to ask you this for a while. I mean, you've talked about the fact that there are different things that we're dealing with. But how does one protect themselves?
Well, basically, you have to develop your inner sensitivity. And with me, I had a couple near-death experiences, and I studied intensely with lamas and yogis and learned a lot of techniques for healing unseen negative influences and, you know, shielding myself and things like that. And it's very important to have those tools under your belt if you're going to go, you know, play around. You know, there's an old saying, as you expand in consciousness, there is a responsibility to be able to heal and clear out what is in that consciousness. And you're not going to expand in consciousness if you have thought forms or entities or other things around you. Your auric field is just going to stay kind of tight, you know. And so I know I'm going into more of a spiritual understanding of this, but basically it is a higher dimensional program going on. But, you know, we have techniques, and they're in all my books, you know, the Reunion with Source book and the Becoming Gods book and even the Anunnaki Return book and the Ultimate Soul Journey. It's the healing is in each and every one of those because they felt it was very important to get out there. And if anybody, you know, sends us an email, we can shoot them a copy. We can shoot you a copy of it.
You know, I bought, yeah, and I, when I saw you, not at Contact, but in the, oh gosh, where were we? We were in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I got your books and you inscribed them to me and they're, yeah, they're wonderful. I'm really happy to have that. Yes. But this is something that for me, people need to understand that we do need to protect ourselves because we don't know what we're dealing with.
Yeah. And if you're going to invoke contact or invite these beings into your life, we need to set up some parameters, you know, and make sure we are dealing with benevolent beings that are in the highest and best good of humanity and the earth and ourselves. And so it is important to kind of set parameters. And what I find out with some groups is they just go out and they invite anything that comes in. And I've dealt with, you know, same thing, you know, this is a whole nother show in itself, but a lot of people that do like ayahuasca and things like that, they do it recreational basically, and they didn't set the right parameters and things like that. And these guys have all these entities like attached to them, and they just, their whole life just turns to hell, you know, because it wasn't done properly. And, you know, those ceremonies you do in the jungle with a trained shaman and you do once a year, you know,
right. Yeah, right.
You know, if you're going to do something like that, and then you better know how to clear because all kinds of stuff comes at you, you know. So, you know, there are certain grays, there's reptilian beings, there's serpent beings. There's even some demonic type beings that we need to pay attention to and set boundaries. And, you know, this is your body, you know, this is your consciousness, your field, and they have no right to trespass on it. But you have to know that, and you have to stand in your own self-authority when you have these experiences. And you can't get into fear because then you're in their realm, you know, you're playing their game, and they'll get you. They'll get you every time.
Okay. That's good. And this just, I mean, I need to get you on my show because I need to hear more of this.
Yeah, we can talk more about that, you know.
But, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, when I do my lectures, I show all that. I show different pictures of which group, who is who, you know, who we want to work with. You know, and there are, and the good news is, though, the benevolents have such a presence here now that the malevolent ones are being kicked out and the whole earth is undergoing a major cleansing and healing. And there's very few left. They're still at large. There's still some running around, but there's very not, you know, it's down to like the 10% range, you know, are left. And that's being cleaned up as we speak. So, you know, eventually we won't have to deal with this. And then they're puppets, you know, which basically are a lot of the politicians and banksters and things like that. That's being cleaned up too. So we're just in a big cleanup process to get the earth back on track on to the original intent.
Well, that would be good because it sure seems like there's a lot of negativity going on right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all coming up. So the good news is it is surfacing, you know, for us all to look at. And now we have to deal with it and sort of support the people that are dealing with it, you know, that are, you know, cleaning the house, so to speak.
Well, that's good. I think that it's time to clean house in this field, too, and make some good change.
Great. Well, you know, I'm glad you've got that going. And if you have that, we'll put a link on our site. Our site's undergoing some major work right now, but we'll put a link on our site so people can report, you know, sightings and things like that. Because, you know, I can't send them over to the local guy here because he just makes fun of them and ridicules them, which is sad. You know, it's an international reporting center, so, you know, should tell you what's going on. But anyway, yeah, we can start shooting things over there. I don't have time to deal with that. Even Art wanted me to do that, and I said, Art, I just don't have time, you know. I have a retreat center to run, and I have other things going on, the radio shows. I don't have time to do a reporting base, you know, center, so.
You know, it's a challenge, but I think that at least people know that there's a place that they can just, you know, talk about their experience, share their experience, and that it will go in, go somewhere where everything is being looked at and taken seriously. And I think that's a start.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually too, it is so important to have people to have a voice and be able to share their experiences because, and also be around other people, you know, have had similar experiences because, you know, this is crazy making and everybody else thinks you're crazy. But when you get, and when you start seeing the same experiences and same details and everything else, then you realize, well, something is going on, and it is outside the norm, but we need to take a look at it.
Absolutely. And I like your, you know, your thoughts that we need to be critical thinkers and we need to understand that there's a lot more here going on than peace and love and light.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, yeah. Dang it, but you know.
I know, unfortunately, when I go to these conferences and talk about this, I get one shot and then I don't hear from them for 3 or 4 years, you know, and they have to assimilate it. And then I get all these requests and then I get to speak again. But it's funny, it's about a 3 to 5 year wait after I drop the bomb on all the different dimensions of what's really going on, you know, so hopefully, you know, we'll get beyond that. But do you have anything coming up? I mean, what do you have coming up in the future here?
Oh, my Lord. You know, I am going to be at the UFO Congress in a month. I'll be speaking, which, I mean, oh, I need to kind of rein it in on my topic because I've just got so many cool things I'm researching here in Utah. And then I'm going to be, you know, I've got some other research projects in the works here, and then I'll be working on the International Association of UAP Research and nice. Doing the show. And I mean, I really feel this year is going to be positive and good things will happen, and hopefully we'll get a younger generation involved in this and wanting to work with this and carry on the work of so many other people that have come before us.
Yeah, I think it's great that you're speaking there, and they need more women. You know, they've been marginalizing women and kind of pushing them out of the field, unfortunately, and younger people too. We need more younger people in there to kind of get rid of this old guard and really get the truth out. But, you know, we're at the end of the hour, unfortunately, but, you know, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And what's the best way for people to contact you?
You know, UFOclassified.com, you can send me an email there, or you can find me on my UFO Classified Facebook page. And I'm always checking my messages and just it's fun to connect with people. And I really think that, you know, all of us reaching out and communicating with each other is important. So that's how you can find me.
Awesome. And yeah, you'll definitely have to come out to the ranch and we'll show you the equipment we use. And
oh, I'd love to.
And the ships are nightly here, basically. It's like, you know, a boring night is seeing only 3 to 5 ships. You know, sometimes there's 50 to 200 ships, you know, so it gets pretty crazy here.
Oh, I would love to come out there.
Or the mountain. There's a big light door on the mountain that opens up, and it's crazy. Stuff comes out of it, and we've got a lot of that on film as well. But, yeah, it's a pretty interesting place. It's just, I always say this is where the UFO and paranormal debunkers come to die, you know, as he said.
Well, good for you. You know, we should send a few more out there, you know, this year.
Exactly. But anyway, well, again, I can't.
Thank you. I love it.
Yeah, great, we'll have you back on the show. If you got any of the new breaking news, just let us know. We'll bring you on the show.
I will do it. Let's get you on my show.
Sounds great. All right. Okay. Have a great evening.
Thanks, you too.
All right. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. Have a great evening. Watch the skies, stay in the heart, and get that critical mind going.